You may know the French film director Bertrand Tavernier for his movies Round Midnight and A Sunday in the Country. In France, he's also known as one of the country's experts on American film. And he heads the Lumière Institute, which preserves the legacy of the Lumière brothers, who created the cinema just over 100 years ago. In celebration, Tavernier is touring America, screening some of the Lumière brothers' movies. The Lumières didn't invent the moving picture. There were already kinescopes, little boxes which you looked into to see your short movie. But the Lumières were the first to project a moving picture onto a screen. They were also the first to put a camera on the street and shoot the people passing by. I asked Bertrand Tavernier to describe what the Lumières invented that made it possible to project a movie onto a screen.
Invented a process which was in which the film were could roll, I mean, in the camera, could with the perforation. And that system, I mean, the idea of that system came to him, according to maybe a legend, during a night of insomnia, where he thought of the sewing machine. And in fact, he adapted the system on the sewing machine on the camera. And he invented a camera which was very light, 4 kilos, and which was able to shoot, to process, to develop, and to project. The same camera could do the three operations.
It's amazing. What, if anything, did the developing technology keep from the Lumière's technology?
They kept many things. I mean, the way the film is rolling.
The sprockets, the idea of sprockets.
Yeah, the sprocket. I mean, the idea. It's
that's from the Lumières.
That's from the Lumière, and what they kept, I think, was the idea of Lumière, which was an incredible idea for a bourgeois from Lyon, rather conservative, which was to send some operators and cameramen throughout the world. I mean, in New York, in Moscow, in China, in Australia, in Argentina. I mean, to film the daily life, the street. Do you imagine that in Bombay or in Buenos Aires, 6 months after the invention of cinema, people were able to see films about a New York street, a London street, some comedies taking place in France, a train coming into a station in the south of France. I mean, the idea is so great. I mean, and the film are so beautiful. The film, the beauty of the film, because Louis Lumière was a great, great, great director, I think.
I think one of the Lumière's most famous films is of a train arriving at a station. Yeah. What was the film like and what impact did it have when audiences first saw it?
When we presented it in our program, we said that was the first horror film.
The first what?
Horror film. Yes. Uh-huh. People were very frightened.
They thought the train was going to run them over.
Yes, they start to yell. But what is interesting now is where the camera is put. That the sense of perspective, because we get a sense of movement. There is an opposition between the black and the white. The framing of that film, and has many, many films of Lumière, is totally striking and totally modern.
I think each of the Lumière films was, about a minute long?
50 seconds. 17 meters, 50 seconds.
And that was just the amount of film that they were able to shoot, process, and project within
that
the
was
camera.
Coming from Edison. That was, it's only, I mean, the can could only contain that at that time. Later on, around after 1900, they were 10 or 15 seconds longer.
How many of these are still in existence?
The Lumière shot 1,500 films. 1,427 are preserved.
Including the one of the train?
Yes, including the one on the train, and including some which are totally unknown. Which are shot in Vietnam or in Japan or in Spain, which are absolutely beautiful. I mean, there are Some of them, there is one shot in Vietnam with the camera in a rickshaw, which is one of the most moving films I've ever seen in my life.
My guest is French film director Bertrand Tavernier, who heads the Lumière Institute in France. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with French film director Bertrand Tavernier. You are the head of the Lumière Institute.
Yes.
Now, you're not only interested in preserving the past of French film, you're interested in the current French cinema.
Yes.
What are some of the most important issues now for French filmmakers like yourself?
How do you mean? Among the important issue first is to have the possibility of still making film in French.
No, in French, in the French language?
Yes, in French language.
Is that in jeopardy now? What's the problem?
It's a problem. I mean, I'm always meeting some producers who says, why don't you do that film in English? It would be better for the market.
You did one film in English, or at least one film.
Yes.
I did
Mississippi Blues. But I mean, that there was a reason behind that. And in the film, the French were speaking French.
Do you think it's getting any easier or more difficult for French filmmakers like yourself to have their films shown in the United States?
It's more difficult now.
Why is it?
It's more difficult because I think that, and I talk to a lot of film critics, I think the press is less interested by anything by foreign films. Not only by French films, by foreign films. I can see the space closing down. There are a lot of channels devoted to classic, to old films. They never take a foreign film. I feel that even that Turner film classic should open a little door.
I know what you mean, but on the other hand, I find it really hard to watch subtitled films on television.
I don't. I mean, a lot of people in Sweden, in Japan, in Denmark, they only see subtitled film. In England, they see a lot of subtitled film on Channel 4 and BBC, and they can. So does that mean that the Americans are less literate than all those people? I mean, I find that the cable are not giving enough room to foreign film and I feel it's more difficult.
When you were growing up and you saw American movies, did you see them dubbed or subtitled?
With both, and sometimes there is something which I saw dubbed, which maybe I like them better dubbed than subtitled. But we saw them both.
Wait a minute, why?
That's kind of crazy film buff love. I mean, it's... But most of the time, when we were able to, we were seeing the film with subtitle.
It really bugs me when films are dubbed because you don't get the actor's real voice.
Yes, of course. I mean, it's... But sometimes... I created a film club, and we decided to show dubbed version when there was no other way to see the film.
Oh, sure.
Even the first time I saw Singing in the Rain, it was in 16 millimeters, black and white, dubbed, and even the song were dubbed. So I had a very approximative vision of the film.
what was it? Was it very surprising when you actually... saw it in English and heard Gene Kelly singing instead of...
I mean, it was a shock.
What was shocking?
It was so beautiful that... But do you imagine that MGM, a studio, was able to conceive that idea to have a film like that shown in black and white, dubbed, and with all the song being dubbed? I mean, this.
What's particularly remarkable about that is it's a movie about voices being dubbed.
Yes. It's become like now it adds another level.
It's like a funhouse mirror.
Yeah, I mean, it's you could, if you were very perverse, say that this is the ultimate version of Singing in the Rain.
You've said that when you started to make movies, that you loved American cinema so much, but when you started to make movies, you wanted to make movies that were French.
Yes.
What did that mean?
I had seen at that time many films who were derivative from the American cinema. I mean, especially thrillers, film noir, where the cops were behaving like in an American film. The gangster were behaving like in an American film. I saw a way of shooting, too, which was American and not French. I felt that my film had to be rooted in a French context, in a French culture. They had to speak about France. I felt that I had to live with my country and not be you are always influenced by the great directors, but not try to
copy
imitate
them.
Or to imitate what was good in the American cinema. In the best American films, you feel the time and you feel the period. You feel the space. In the best, in The Searchers, John Ford, you cannot take the characters out of Monument Valley. They seem to be rooted there. You know what I mean? I mean, and so I wanted to have that same feeling. I wanted to get something which was the opposite. And at that time we had, and the same thing is happening now. We had films which were, and you say, it's a derivative from the American cinema. I mean, we have people trying to make a copy of an American, saying that it will sell more in the States. I love American directors and American cinema. I just want to be able to go on making the film I want, and I want that the other French filmmaker keep on making the film they want.
Bertrand Tavernier is touring America, screening Lumiere Brothers movies in a program called The First Picture Show. This week he'll be at the High Museum in Atlanta, the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston, and the Art Institute of Chicago.